Welcome to Life-Giving Water Messages, where I expound upon the Word of God and, through the internet, deliver it to you. My name is Reverend Todd Laddick, and today I'm bringing to you part two of a four-part series entitled Rising Strong, with today's message specifically entitled Rising from Denial, based off of John chapter 21, verses 15 through 19. So let us dive into the Word today. After breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?"
"Yes, Lord," Peter replied, "you know I love you."
"Then feed my lambs," Jesus told him. Jesus repeated the question, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?"
"Yes, Lord," Peter said, "you know I love you."
"Then take care of my sheep," Jesus said. A third time he asked him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt that Jesus asked the question a third time. He said, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Then feed my sheep. I tell you the truth. When you were young, you were able to do as you liked. You dressed yourself and went wherever you wanted to go. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and others will dress you and take you to where you don't want to go." Jesus said this to let him know by what kind of death he would glorify God. Then Jesus told him, "Follow me." Amen. The love and forgiveness of God is what enables us to rise above our mistakes and become more faithful disciples. I'll say that again. The love and forgiveness of God is what enables us to rise above our mistakes and become more faithful disciples. We've all been given second chances before. And you know what I mean by this. Times where we've messed up or when we've messed up and whoever we offended or hurt has forgiven us. We've all been given second chances before. Let me start off with a reflection on forgiveness itself, written by renowned theological scholar N.T. Wright in his book, Evil and the Justice of God. So this is from N.T. Wright. Forgiveness doesn't mean I didn't really mind or it didn't really matter. I mind and it did matter. Otherwise, there wouldn't be anything to forgive at all, merely something to adjust my attitudes about. We hear a lot today about people needing to adjust their attitudes to things they formerly thought were wrong, but that's not forgiveness. If I have a wrong attitude towards someone, and if I need to adjust my attitude, if anything, it's me who needs forgiveness for my misguided earlier stance. Nor is forgiveness the same as saying, "Let's pretend it didn't really happen." This is a little trickier because part of the point of forgiveness is that I'm committing myself to work toward the point where I can behave as if it didn't happen. But it did happen, and forgiveness isn't pretending that it didn't. Forgiveness is looking hard at the fact that it did and making a conscious choice, a decision of the moral will to set aside so that it doesn't come as a barrier between us. I want to invite you to think about a time when you were given a second chance and the impact it had on your life. Oftentimes, the world and culture at large do not encourage us to be very generous with our second chances, with forgiveness. And in fact, we often are told or act like forgiveness is some sort of weakness. We sometimes close off opportunities for healed relationships, or we hold on to grudges. Why is that? I want you to consider an example of a time, if one exists, when you denied God in your poor treatment of another, or your unwillingness to give others a second chance. Now, as you consider that, let's look at Peter. Peter makes a big mistake, one he was forewarned about at that. And he denies that he even knows Jesus three separate times, as we see in John chapter 18, verses 15 through 18. And in that, John enters into the courtyard during the trial of Jesus at night, and he's huddling around fires. And the people who see him there, first the gatekeeper and then two other people inside, they ask him, "Weren't you the one with Jesus and the others in the garden? Don't you know him?" And Peter says, "No, I don't know him." And he does this three times. The last time he does it to the very, I think, cousin of the slave he cut the ear off of that Peter cut the ear off of. So the slave knows he was there. He recognized, or the cousin of the slave knows he was there. He recognizes him. And despite that, Peter still denies Jesus, denies knowing him three times. Three times. Now, despite this lack of faithfulness and friendship, because I don't think there's much more you could do wrong in a friendship than to deny knowing your friend, especially when they're down and out and in need of help. But despite this lack of faithfulness and friendship, Jesus still invites Peter into discipleship. In fact, the risen Jesus meets him and the other disciples with a gesture of companionship and abundance, abundant fish, and a filling breakfast, as we read in John chapter 21, verses 1 through 14. Peter's imperfect love for Jesus does not seem to change Jesus' unchanging love for Peter or God's love for imperfect humanity. Forgiveness allows us to journey from the moments where we deny Jesus or make other big relationship-harming mistakes to reconciliation with God and renewed faithfulness. In John chapter 20, verse 22, Jesus says that if you forgive someone else's sin, they are forgiven through the Holy Spirit. Our forgiveness, the forgiveness we give others, our forgiveness allows the power of God to move, change, and reconcile. So it's bigger than just us. The power of Jesus' forgiveness is evident in his willingness to feed Peter and address him as friend. Even after Peter denied him, he says, "You're my friend." He asks Peter, "Do you love me? Do you truly love me?" And what I love about this is that Peter gets asked this question the same amount of times that Jesus was denied. And so, yeah, by the third time, Peter's a little hurt. Like, "What do you mean? You know I love you. Why are you asking me this over and over and over again?" But the point that Jesus was making is this: I love you too. You're my friend. Take care of my sheep. I trust you despite not having a reason to trust you. I trust you with this. So the power of Jesus' forgiveness is evident in his willingness to feed Peter and to address him as friend, even after Peter's denial. Yet our passage this morning shows that on the other side of forgiveness, Jesus calls and empowers Peter to a changed and renewed life of servant leadership. And I should correct myself. Jesus in that passage did not call Peter a friend explicitly. He actually had done that when he told Peter he would deny him three times. So Jesus knew that Peter was going to do this and had forgiven him pretty much before he did. So again, to go back to where I was just at, Jesus calls and empowers Peter to a changed and renewed life of servant leadership, feeding and tending Jesus' own sheep as a shepherd to his flock. We wouldn't trust somebody we couldn't trust, somebody that was untrustworthy with such a task. And yet Jesus knows that Peter ultimately isn't untrustworthy. He made a mistake and was he made a mistake, and Jesus was giving him another chance. Here's your chance to undo that mistake the right way by showing me your faithfulness, by going out there and taking care of my flock, taking care of my sheep. So, often we think of forgiveness as the solution to a problem, but this passage shows how forgiveness is really a first step, a foundation that frees Peter for a life of faith, and a key leadership role in the early church. Not even a key, the key leadership role in the early church. Between him and Paul, you can't get two more prolific leaders in the early Christian church. And Peter goes down that way because he was faithful to God. He was given that second chance and able to step up and live the way God had called him to live and serve the way God had called him to serve. God not only promises us reconciliation and or justification, which is a healed relationship through forgiveness, but also redemption and or sanctification, a changed life through the Holy Spirit in which we actively participate. Friends, it's important to note that Peter's denial of Jesus does not define him. It never did. Jesus knew that even as he told Peter he was going to deny him. It did not define who Peter was. Long before Jesus' death and resurrection, Jesus called Peter the rock upon which he would build the church in Matthew 16, verse 18. In our passage today, and we know that Peter wasn't even perfect back then, not that he denied Jesus then, but he didn't get it. He didn't completely get what Jesus was talking about, and Jesus knew that, and yet Jesus saw in him that great possibility, that great reality even, that he would rise up to be the rock upon which the church was built. In our passage today, we see Jesus commissioning Peter to be this rock. And if we look ahead, for example, to Acts 15, verses 7 through 11, we can see Peter living in his strength as this rock of the church, even though he was a rolling stone when it came to denying Jesus, right? How often do we let our mistakes define us or derail us from living the lives we were made for? How might the example of Peter, who accepted the full power of Jesus' forgiveness to move forward in following God's call on his life, inspire us? How can we let Peter inspire us? How about this for a call to action? How would you begin to forgive someone today? What would be your first steps in moving toward this? What does it look like to love the way Jesus wants us to both love both others and ourselves? Forgiveness is hard and doesn't always happen right away. Most often, it is a process. What freedom might be found for us or others in the act of forgiveness? How might we accept the forgiveness that Jesus offers us for the mistakes that are holding us back? Often, it starts with awareness of the mistake and bringing it to God in confession, sometimes sharing with a trusted friend of faith or a pastor who will remind you that you are forgiven. Sometimes that can help. Like Jesus called Peter to feed and tend his sheep if he truly loved him, what action might Jesus be calling you to take in order to fully embrace and embody your forgiveness? Where in our world or communities today do we need to see forgiveness or second chances? My God, there's plenty. There's plenty of them. What is required in order to get there? If we offered it, what would that grace enable us to become? How may our story of forgiveness inspire others to move forward from their mistakes and in lives that serve Jesus? Again, how may our story of forgiveness inspire others to move forward from their mistakes in lives that serve Jesus? Friends, together we can begin to, like Peter, grow from our mistakes into grace-filled, forgiven people, ready to forgive and ready to serve. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, here before us we have a challenging message, one that you are inspiring us with, giving us hope that from our mistakes we've been forgiven, and in other people's mistakes we too can forgive. Because it is through forgiveness that your Holy Spirit works and transforms in the lives of others. Help us to be such agents of grace and to live in such a way as to bring you honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Friends, it's awesome to always have you tune in. I hope you're getting as much out of these as I get putting into them. Always, God is calling us to live our lives as faithfully as possible and to be stewards of the grace, good stewards of the grace that God has given us, meaning that we don't hoard it for ourselves, but we share it with others, because that's what grace does. And no, grace is not deserved or earned. We didn't deserve or earn it from God, and we need to follow God in that model and give it to others in such a way. Always, friends, I invite you to check out the episode notes and to check out the links in there, especially the links to our giving pages. If you have it in you to give to our church and support our ministries, we appreciate it. But always remember that you are richly blessed so that you may be a blessing to others. Go in peace.